Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Well, welcome to the show, 101.9 Chai FM, and this is the DL Link show where we connect you through insights, information and illumination. I'm Nikki Seberini, delighted to be with you. I do hope that you're having a fabulous day, and from here on, it gets even better. Today we have Ernesta Nagel joining us. She is a breast cancer warrior with an attitude and an outlook on life that is simply inspirational. And that's what we find time and time again with our cancer warriors. So without further ado, Ernesta, welcome. So lovely having you on the show.
Hi, Nikki. Thank you so much for having me.
Wow. So it's been a pretty challenging time since COVID and the journey and the road that you've traveled up until today, Ernesta, and it started. I'm so sorry and so sad to hear that you lost your husband during COVID.
Yes, thank you. It was a shock. It's been a rough ride. It's been a journey, but you need to be positive and to be able to go through this journey.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just thinking about being left during COVID with all the confusion and life upside down with two young children. Did you have it was such a isolating time. Did you have a support system during that challenging time?
Yes. So my husband didn't pass away in the COVID, like the 2020 stage. He passed away a year later, which was July 2021. So at that time, it was still going to school, going to work. We lost him. It was 2 weeks that I took just to get everything together. And after 2 weeks, I went back to work. Kids went back to school when the schools opened. And we just faced it and we carried on.
Only 2-3 years later, 2024, to be diagnosed with a triple positive breast cancer. What I was impressed by, Ernesta, was your rigorous self-examination when it came to your breasts, because that's how you identified the small lump. Am I correct?
Yes, I did. I was still too young to go for mammograms, so it was like, okay, I'm 39. When I turn 40, I'm going to go for my mammogram to see that everything is good. And then one evening in the bath, I sat there and I felt it was like, no, this can't be. And then I still asked a colleague, I said to her, please just, I felt something and I'm not too sure if it needs to be there. Please, can you just help me? And then I felt it and I made an appointment at the gynecologist and I said to him, okay, I'm here. Please check for me. He said to me, why are you here? I said, no, I'm here for my yearly checkup, but I felt something and I don't think it's something that needs to be there. He tried to feel it, but he couldn't feel it. So I had to guide him to feel the lump. And then we started. We did the mammogram. We did a sonar. We did the biopsy. And to a shock, he phoned me 5 days later to confirm that it was actually breast cancer.
Sure. And what happened to your world when you were given that diagnosis?
It shattered and it was like, yeah. I can't die now. My kids have one parent. My kids can't lose a second parent. And I'm going to, with everything in me, fight this fight to be able to survive, to be there for my two kids, because they can't grow up without a mother as well.
Yeah. Wow. What a huge thing. So... You decided not to tell them in the beginning. Am I correct?
Yes, because their grandmother on my late husband's side passed away from brain cancer. And because everybody, you hear the word cancer, and then you automatically think, okay, when am I dying? It was my thoughts exactly. And I didn't want it. They were still young. My daughter was, let me just remember correctly, she just turned 11 and my son was still 9, and it was like, they're still young, you can't let them go through that, the stress of when is my mommy going to die. But then eventually after 2 months, I built the courage and I explained to them and I said to them, it is like a germ that's inside your body and the doctor's going to give me medicine that's going to make me sick, to make me better, but I'm going to fight. And I eventually then told them it's cancer, but I told them it's not the same cancer Granny had. Granny's cancer was incurable. Mommy's cancer is curable. Mommy just needs to go through medication, chemo, treatment, all of that treatment just to heal.
As difficult as it must have been to do that, Anastia, you must have felt hugely relieved once they knew.
I was relieved. Mm-hmm. My son was, my daughter, she's very, how can I say, she's very mature. After her father's death, she matured very quickly. So she was at that point where she would understand, mommy is sick, mommy doesn't feel well, we are going to be there. There were times where, I used to go for chemo on a Friday, and then on a Monday, I was back at the office. Monday afternoon, it was like, mommy, are you tired? Yes, I am. Okay, don't worry. You can go lie down. I will cook. And then she would cook us a meal and would wake me up and say, okay, mommy, we can eat. And I must say, I was fortunate enough. The tiredness and the fatigue was only for 3 days. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and by Thursday, I was up and going. But my kids were there. Both kids supported me. Both kids made sure I was fine. Luckily, I didn't have the nausea. That was okay. And they were there.
I mean, I'm just thinking about how actively involved they were, that your daughter was saying, you rest and I'll make dinner. And, you know, you can think, wow, they're so young to do that. But actually, it got them actively involved. So they weren't powerless. Yes. You had given them... You had kind of empowered them to accompany you on the journey and to be important participants on the journey, right?
And they were keeping me strong. Besides family and friend support, my children were my pillar of strength. And they were the ones that kept me going, because I knew I had to fight for them. I had to get better in order for them to have a mother.
Sure. I mean, it's just so powerful, honestly, Anastia. And I can only imagine. So you've said that, you know, chemo wasn't too bad. You had heard awful stories. But for you, yes, you had the exhaustion, but it wasn't too bad. But you did lose your hair. And I'm wondering what that was like for your kids. And were they there when you decided, did you shave your hair? How did you navigate that?
I guess in the beginning when the doctor said to me, originally when they said to me, they don't foresee me having chemo, but after the MRI and the biopsy results and all of that, they said to me, unfortunately, I will have to have 6 rounds of chemo 3 weeks apart. The doctor did explain to me, he said to me, you are going to lose your hair. Your hair will start falling out 2 weeks after your first session. It was like that. I lost my hair. It started falling out 2 weeks after chemo, after the first session. But before I started chemo, I went to go cut my hair like a bob on my shoulders. So the falling out, you could see it. It wasn't too hectic. And then I eventually built the courage to cut my hair. It was the 27th of December, 2024. And it was difficult. I cried a lot, but I knew I had to do it. And my son went to go stay with a friend that Friday afternoon, and he asked his friend's mom, and he said to her, can you please take me to the hairdresser? Sorry, I'm becoming teary. Mm. Can you please take me to the hairdresser? I also want to cut my hair off. And then he shaved his hair for mommy.
Sure.
That was out of everything that I've gone through on the chemo, the radiation, the operation, cutting my hair was the worst trauma that I had to go through that whole journey. But then I embraced it. I didn't order a wig. I embraced my no hair and my hair grew back.
So hang on, there are a few things I want to ask you. First of all, I just want to say that your son is incredible. Your children are incredible. Really, Anastia, they are just incredible. And I know the part that faith has played on the journey in your life, and clearly the impact it's had on your children. how difficult it was to shave your hair, and that you then embraced it. I mean, what was it like looking at you in the mirror with no hair?
In the beginning, it was difficult. In the beginning, I used to wear a bandana because it's like, okay, do I want to see myself with no hair? But then I decided it's like, that's the new me. That new me is going to be for a little while. And if that's how I'm going to see myself for a little while, so be it. And I went out in the world. It's like, I didn't stay inside my house. It's like, no, I can't go out because I don't have hair. I went out in the world. People looked funny at you, but I couldn't care because that was the me that had to be the me at that point.
If you look at Ernesta before she was diagnosed with cancer, and the Ernesta who had been diagnosed, who had gone, who had accepted, had faith, realized that this was short-term because she's determined to be there for her children, would you see that? I mean, would she have gone out before the diagnosis in that state with people looking at her? In other words, was this a huge growth?
It was growth. It was a personal growth within myself and a personal growth within my faith, because my faith became stronger. Before then, I probably would have gone out with a new me, but not with no hair. It would have been, okay, people are looking at me, why? But now it's like anything can happen to me and I can embrace it because my faith is there. And without faith, you can't do it.
Did you ever question your faith? You know, to lose your husband, to then a few years later be diagnosed. Did you ever reach a point when you said, why me? You know, I'm a this person, I'm a that person. Why? Is this a punishment? Did you go through that at all?
No, I haven't, because I always said, a lot of people told me that you would have your reasoning behind why you got the cancer. And when everybody told me that, I said to them, I had my reasoning behind it. I knew when I was diagnosed with cancer, I knew why I had to get it. And my reasoning behind it, that wasn't mentioned in my article that I did before, but my reasoning is I had to let go of my late husband because I held on to death and I wasn't ready to die. So that helped me go through my last grieving process, letting go of my husband and embrace life on a day-by-day basis with a smile.
That is so profound, Ernesta. That is so profound. And that you saw that so clearly is amazing. And it's truly inspiring. You know, a lot of people who listen to this show are on a similar journey, as in they're on a cancer journey, but everyone's circumstances are so different. And I just think it's so amazing, as you said, that with your husband dying and you holding on to his death, that the end of that, the embracing life, came, you know, with you fighting for your life, for your kids. Just, yeah, quite a story, Ernesta. And I'd love to know, so was it in August last year that you were officially in remission?
Yes. So on the 20th, they did my operation in May. And then the surgeon said to me, I had a complete clear, whatever they took out, everything, there was no cancer to be found. And then in August last year, I did a CT scan and blood test. And then I spoke to the doctor and I said to the doctor, so at what point in life are you, as a cancer warrior, become a cancer survivor by being in remission? And he said to me, you were in remission in May already, but I can confirm that you are cancer-free. And on the 28th of August last year, it was like I got the words of, you are in remission.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And so interesting what you're saying about remission. And, you know, you've finished that part of the journey. Just after our discussion, I'm going to be speaking with an occupational therapist about survivorship, like after breast cancer, which is so interesting, Ernesta. I just want to ask you, how does your hair look? How, you said it's grown. How long is it? How's your relationship with your new hair?
So my new hair, I always said that I want curly hair. I always wanted to embrace curly hair. When my hair grew back curly, wavy, and it's like the weather. If the weather is in a bad mood, my hair is in a bad mood. My hair grew back, even though I became gray after my daughter's birth. When my hair grew back, my hair was like a gray patch. Everything was dark, and I had a gray patch on my head. Like, and the one person that I spoke to said to me, "You look like Charlie Ware, like the boxer in the 80s that just had that gray patch on their head." So my hair is still... It's still short. It's still very wavy. I can't tie it up, so it's a bit frustrating, but I embrace it because it's
just amazing, Ernesta. And I just, your attitude.
No hair,
yes?
From having no hair in 2025 to having a full head of hair in 2026, it shows you the amazing growth that a human body can have to yield after you've gone through horrible medication to kill cancer.
Yeah, just amazing. And your attitude goes such a long way. Your attitude, your approach, it's contagious. So I just want to thank you so much for joining us, for sharing your story with us, for inspiring many of our listeners. And we wish you brilliant health, vitality, and just marvelous, wonderful experiences and continuing with your faith, Ernesta. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been wonderful.
Thank you so much. I just wanted to say a last thing. Just for the cancer warriors out there, people that's fighting the fight that think, okay, this fight is like a mountain in front of me. Hold on to hope. Hold on to faith. Hold on to positivity. Because with positivity, you can move mountains.
Amen. Thank you, Ernesta. Thank you so much for joining us. Beautiful,
thank
beautiful.
You for having
thank
me.
You. Thank you, Ernesta Nagel, breast cancer warrior. And as I said, so inspiring and so contagious. And I think it's really important to talk about, you know, Ernesta spoke about how shocking it was losing her hair, that with the whole journey she's been on, that has been the most traumatic part of the journey. And right now in our community, women are also bravely fighting cancer, and they're facing that difficult moment of treatment where they are losing their hair. And, you know, the DL Link is coming on board because, as you know, they are building this wig room in the new State of the Art Center, and it's going to be a warm, private, salon-like space where women can try on wigs and just feel beautiful and have their heads held in caring, nurturing hands. So we're looking for donations. Now, no matter how small, your donation goes a long way in the DL Link realizing that dream. So every donation brings them closer to giving these women confidence, dignity, and hope when they need it most. So if you would like to make a donation, please go to the DL Link website, dllink.co.za, because every woman deserves to feel like herself through the toughest yet bravest fight. We're going to take a break and we'll be back.